Welcome to Glimpses of Calvary, and thank you for joining us. Glimpses of Calvary is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. Join us now as our pastor, Gordon Dixon, opens the Word of God to us.
As we return to Galatians chapter 2, I would imagine that the vast majority of the people in this room would say that confrontation is not their favorite kind of discussion. No one loves to get involved in an argument for the sake of arguing, loves the strife and dissension that can come from just such kind of discussion. You say, well, I think maybe I've known a few people through the years who did. Perhaps there are a few people. But we know that for most of us, we really would rather avoid a confrontation, but we also know in Scripture that we're called upon to have that exact kind of discussion, a kind of confrontation. Well, that's what this morning's message is really about. And I would remind you of what Proverbs says about this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. It will certainly produce friction. It will produce filings. It will produce sparks. It will produce warmth of various kinds. But the end result is a piece of iron that looks like it ought to look. It responds. The tool does, or the weapon does. It responds in the way that it ought to work. And in the very same way, you and I can benefit from confrontation. And we're going to see in this discussion this morning in Galatians chapter 2 how the Apostle Paul confronted Peter, and we're really going to take the message and look at it from Peter's perspective about the need for the confrontation. If you take your notes from the bulletin this morning, you will notice there are five needs. There are five different reasons that we desperately need to be confronted, things that we need to carefully consider. And I would just point out immediately one of the expressions that we actually use all the time. Look what it says in verse 9. And when James, Cephas, a reference to Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars. Have you ever heard anybody use that expression? These people are pillars of the church. What do they mean by that? What does this expression mean by this? Well, I think the expression is the same kind of thing that you and I would use, an architectural expression that this morning we have these supports in our auditorium that are holding up the roof over us. In that sense, they are pillars, they are load bearers, they hold this weight over us. And what he is saying about these men in verse 9 is these were men who could bear up under the weight of the pressures upon them. They could bear up in the ministry. They were leaders. You could count upon them. They were the kind of people who could be entrusted with weighty and heavy matters because they seem to be pillars of the church. Now, I'd like to remind you that the Apostle Paul, when he is talking about this, is, in a sense, younger in the faith than these men. He has come to know the Lord since these men have come to know the Lord. They are more experienced than he is. And so this really highlights the discussion that is getting ready to take place. But again, I'd like for you to look at it from Peter's standpoint, and let's just stop and think about this just for a few moments. Peter is here said to be a pillar of the church. Now, in this entire series, we've talked about Peter. We know how Peter became a pillar of the church. We have watched Peter in all of his failures, in all of his mistakes, in all of his sinful willfulness. We have watched him exalt himself rather than the Lord repeatedly, and we've learned a lot about ourselves. Have you not looked in the mirror of the Word of God and seen yourself in the life of Peter? I have. I have seen myself on many occasions, and throughout this series, the Scripture has confronted me about how I ought to respond. And yet it is wonderful to see how the great grace of Jesus Christ restored Peter. We've learned that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We've learned in marvelous ways how God has worked in the life of this former failure. And now it's tremendous to see the powerful ministry that he has. But I raise this question for you. Do we ever get to such a place that we no longer need to be confronted? Do we ever arrive, in a sense, where nobody, a human that is, nobody but nobody ever gets to ask us about something we said or something we did ever again? Ladies and gentlemen, may it never be so. You know, you and I are familiar with, in fact, I've talked to many of you in this room about congregations where you have been a part of that congregation, and everybody sort of understood the power block, as it were. You know what I'm talking about. There are sometimes even official leaders who are posted. There are people who are posted in leadership positions, but everybody knows who holds the real power in a congregation, the real authority. And as a result, some of you have mentioned to me, you've had discussions, I've been involved in the same kind of situation where you began to try to do something, or you thought you saw something in Scripture that indicated you ought to go a certain way or challenge a certain direction, or that somehow or other something should be different, and suddenly you ran full tilt into that power block and you were told by somebody, either explicitly or implicitly, no. You know, you are somebody who doesn't get a chance to ask questions. You, no matter what you think, we're the ones who ultimately make those kind of choices. Now, I'd like to just raise the question with you this morning. Should that be the nature of this congregation? Should this congregation be one of those power block sort of congregations where we get into a situation where certain people really sort of call the shots? I think what you're seeing in this passage this morning is that ought not to be. I do not believe it is presently true in our congregation. In the spirit of this morning's message, I'm always willing to entertain that question if somebody thinks, well, I'd kind of like to talk to you about that. Let's talk about that. But I think what you would find if you sat in on our deacons' meetings, in our staff meetings, pastors, in the committee meetings, you would find a genuine spirit of servant leadership that I have to tell you, I am very excited about what the Lord is doing in the leaders of our congregation right now. It has been a joy to sit with them and see people who are not merely interested in making decisions, they are also interested in serving. They're interested in being servants to you as a congregation. And so with that in mind, let's look at this from Peter's perspective this morning and begin to ask the question, do we need a mid-course correction? Do you and I need a mid-course correction as a congregation or perhaps as individuals in the congregation? And shouldn't we be willing to hear the kind of confrontation that Peter heard? By the way, a very public confrontation in his case. Shouldn't we be willing to listen to that kind of confrontation? I'll give you the end of the story. In fact, Peter was very willing to listen to that kind of confrontation. He had learned his lessons so well from his frequent failures in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and been confronted so graciously by the Lord Jesus Christ and learned his lesson in such a way that he knew he was not to look at himself as the head honcho. He was not the apostle who was in charge of everyone else, by the way. This has implications all through church history, does this passage this morning, if we will carefully consider what is here. Notice then when verse 9, it says, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, this is Paul speaking, he is referencing their agreement with the authority of God upon his life. I'd like you to be very careful about that. Does it say that James, Cephas, and John put him into the ministry? No. It says that they recognize or perceive the grace that was given unto him. They gave to me and to Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So Paul is here referencing the fact that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. They gave him advice in verse 10. But then when he gets into verse 11, they actually get to Antioch, he sees something that really disturbs him. He sees Peter, who is eating with, sharing meals with the Gentiles. By the way, under the Old Testament law, that was not to be. Gentiles, such as most of you and I are here this morning, were looked at as unclean. In other words, they were looked at as people who would defile them. And so Peter, who was enjoying meals with all of these Gentiles and didn't see any problem at all, Something happened when others came into the situation. You have to be very careful with the passage this morning. The Bible is not here saying that James sent messengers to Antioch who believed that you could be saved by the keeping of the law, or that you trusted Jesus Christ, but then you had to keep the law on top of that in order to be justified. That is not the case, and it's reading too much into the passage to say that. It is not true that James sent Pharisees, Judaizers to the meeting. He did not send false teachers to the meeting. What he did send was Jewish men to the meeting. And when those Jewish men got to the meeting, they came to the assembly, all of a sudden Peter changed his lifestyle. Now, it's very clear from the passage I just read to you, you saw the actual word used there in verse 12. It says fearing. It's very clear, the scripture tells us, that Peter was actually fearful of something, and as a result, he changed his behavior. Instead of sharing meals with the Gentiles, like he had routinely been doing, now he only ate with Jewish people. It is true that there were Gentiles there, but he suddenly only ate with Jewish people, and Paul began to ask himself, what in the world is going on here? Why is it that he is acting in this way? Now, folks, if this message is about anything this morning, it is about this. It is about the fact that you and I, having focused our lives on the faith in Jesus Christ, have allowed fears to come into our lifestyles that have changed us. I'm asking you this morning, with the mirror, with the light of the Word of God, I'm asking you if you would not be willing to look for your fears. Those fears that you have come to accept as a normal, natural part of your life, those fears that since you have accepted that, they have actually polluted your message. They have affected, negatively, they have affected your ability to give the good news of Jesus Christ to others. It is in that spirit that I offer this message this morning. I believe every single one of us in this room needs to go back on a very continual basis and examine himself, examine his message and his methods, examine his relationship with the Lord, and examine his own lifestyle. And as I say, that is precisely what you see in this passage. If you are looking for the very first reason that you really need a confrontation of your lifestyle, I think you can see it in verse 9 and again in verse 11. You need a confrontation of your lifestyle even when you become a pillar of the church. We saw that just a few moments ago. Even when you see yourself as someone who is mature in the faith. When I look back at my own Christian life, I've been a Christian now for 35 years. That stuns me. I have been a Christian for 35 years, and they have been wonderful years. What if people begin to look at me as, well, he's a pillar of the church. Whatever that man says from the pulpit, we ought to accept that right off the bat. We ought to accept that at face value. No, folks, we should not. The fact is, you and I need to continually go back to the Word of God and ask, is that really what the Bible says?
Thank you for joining us for Glimpses of Calvary. This is a radio ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, 2000 Broad Avenue in Findlay, Ohio, 45840. That address again is 2000 Broad Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840. Please join us again each weekday at this same time as we look for Glimpses of Calvary.